Let's go ahead and open to the word of prayer and we'll get started.
Dear Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, it's our instruction book. And Lord, where would we be without it? And Lord, you've given it to us, Lord. And it's a book that we're to live by. It's your word. It's truth, Lord. In every aspect, it's truth. Father, we just pray that you'll open our hearts this morning for the message you have for us. We're just thankful we can come here and we can meet in freedom. Lord, again, we pray for those Christians that are under persecution across this globe. And Lord, people that are just in fear of their lives. And yet, Lord, they go, they meet, they gather, they pray, they worship you. And Father, give them strength. And Lord, I pray that you'll give those people strength. I pray again, Lord, that as we look at this great book of Romans, Lord, that you'll open our hearts. And Lord, just help us each individually to receive the message you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and we are in Romans. We just began Romans 12 and we read verses 9 through 16. And last week we got through verse 9 and we're ready to begin this morning on verse 10. But for the sake of continuity, let's go ahead and begin and let's read 9 through 16. And who would do that for us this morning? 9 through 16. Pastor Post.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, flee to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing in steadfast in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given the hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Why not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. Okay, this is, there is a world of information in these verses. And again, this is God's instruction book, and he is telling us how he wants us to live. And we've been through kind of the spiritual gifts. He's given us various and sundry gifts, and we're all part of a body, the local assembly. And God wants us to be using our gifts, you know, for the edification of the body, not for edification for us individually. And so, we've been going through this, and again, this is what God's standards are. He is how he wants us to live. And last night, I'm sitting in my brown chair, or brown recliner, and I'm just going through the notes, reviewing the notes, and, you know, preparing for this morning. And I just feel like the Lord has laid something on my heart that I need to share with you. God's instruction, God's Bible is positive. I mean, it's truth, okay? And he talks about the negative and he talks about the positive, but overall, this word is given here to encourage us. And a lot of times as I go through this stuff about how we're using our gifts and things like that that God has given us, and it seemed like he laid on my heart that in a way for you folks out here, I have been talking in a negative sense. And by that I mean, okay, here's God's standard. Here's what we're supposed to be doing. And God's standard is up here. And I mean, and God has already worked me over before you ever hear it. I've said this before, but maybe God's standard is here, but I'm down here, you know, as far as my level. And I'm telling you folks, this is the way we're supposed to live, up here. And maybe you're down here too. And anyway, and it could become discouraging. It is to me. I get discouraged, and I'm afraid that maybe in the way I've been presenting this and teaching it, is that, you know, I can't live up to that standard, and so I'm going to quit trying. You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And I just, because a lot of times, again, I put it, you're supposed to be using your talents for the church, you know, and all this. And again, God's trying to encourage us. He's trying to build us up. God has set the standards. What we're looking right here, we're looking at God's standards, okay? This is what he wants, but a lot of us might be down here. You know, I'm way down here. Because I look at that, I don't measure up. And I find it to be discouraging. But yet, and I think I've been put it in a way where some people might just say, I give up. I'm not going to do it. You know, I can't live it, so I'm going to give. I hope that's not the case. If I've been teaching that way, I apologize, okay? God has set these standards. God's not trying to beat us down with it, to discourage us with his word. He's trying to build us up, okay? And so even though we're down here, you know, he's trying to encourage, take the next step up. And just for example, maybe, okay, in the gold, silver, our judgment, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Let's just, for an example here, let's just say that maybe a person, maybe they're running at the wood level, okay? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Maybe you're at the wood level, okay? And God is trying to encourage you, hey, move up to the next step. Move up to the precious stones level. It's not trying to discourage us or beat us. He's trying to encourage us to do better. Did Paul give up? No. At the end of Paul's life, he says, I'm striving for the mark. I press forward, you know? He didn't give up. And that's what God wants us. And I hope that, anyway, from now on, I'm going to try to be teaching this in a manner rather to try to discourage people because they're not measuring up, to try to help build us all up. And I just, I felt that was real. And I thought, I need to say something about that. And so we're going to be looking at some heavy stuff here. And again, but we're trying to, you know, to improve. God wants to bless us. He wants us to give those, and again, where we're talking about the wood, hay, and stubble, it talks about if people do things for the wrong reasons, you know, you suffer loss of rewards, but yet you're saved. It, you know, that's part of that verse. And God is wanting to give us gifts and stuff like that, and we need to strive to do our best for the Lord, not for the sake of receiving the Lord, the gifts, even though we know they're there, but just because we love him. We love righteousness, and that's what I want to try to teach. So anyway, enough of that. We'll move forward. Okay, verse 9. We covered that last week. I'm just gonna hit it real quick, and then we're going to land on verse 10. Okay. Just a second, folks. Excuse me. Okay, verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation, you know, and that means without hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite when you tell somebody you love them, okay? Be genuine. Our Lord said, if you want to keep the whole law of God, just do this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And he basically said that is fulfilling of the law. Love has a way of throwing a blanket over someone's evil. You know, or we see people in sin, and yet we're supposed to reach out to them. We don't hold that against them. We try to accept people where they are, as they are, and try to encourage them, you know, to come forward, to move, you know, upward in their Christian walk. Or maybe they need to be saved, okay? But we don't shun them because of, we all have evil in our lives. Christian love that is cleansed of self-motivation and self-fulfillment. We're trying to help somebody genuinely, not trying to put another feather in our cap. Love which manifests itself in selfless, sacrificial service to those who have a need. The verse goes on to say, abhor that which is evil. Or in other words, or hate that which is evil. Folks, a lot of times we laugh at sin. It's just, you know, we should not laugh at things that break God's heart. You know, we should not condone things that break God's heart. The one who truly knows the love of God and loves God in return will have to hate evil. And just talking about as soon as evil appears in some situation, get out, run from it. Cleave to that which is good. In other words, stick or cling to that which is good, to that which is godly. And so that kind of in a quick thing covers verse 9 to bring us up to speed. So verse 10 goes on to say, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now as we come to verse 10 to 13, okay, we talked about the circle. Verse 9, you know, Paul has, first of all, it's the circle widens as we go out, okay? This verse 9 all talked about us individually. Circle is small. Now the circle widens out as he goes on, verses 10 through 13. Not just to encompass me personally, but it includes the family of God. So now we're looking beyond ourselves to the brothers in Christ, to Christians, okay? This is brotherly love, affection marked by a natural love that we share with all believers. We've probably all experienced this. We go into an environment where we do not know anyone. And if they love the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't take very long for us to have a unique sense of love. Somehow we are drawn together and we cling, and we've never seen them in our life before, and yet there's a bond. And I think probably most everybody has experienced that. I have, okay? There's an immediate sense of affection with the one who belongs to the family of God. It's a caring love. It's concerned love. Matthew 18, Jesus says, however you receive one of these little ones that belong to me is how you receive me. Folks, very important. The verse goes on. It says, in honor, preferring one another. This introduces us to another ingredient, that is that of humility. We must prefer others. It has a sense of us leading the way. In other words, we're the first one to take the first step in humility, you know, going to address them, preferring one another. Let each esteem others better than ourselves. That's what the Bible says. That is, being the example, being out in front in behalf of others. Folks, we as a church body are to reach out to others, to the unsaved. And if there's a brother we see in sin, we're to reach out and try to help him and try to correct him and try to bring him back in. But we have to do it in humility, not a thing that I'm better than you are, you know, just in love. Quick to give honor, to give reward or respect or love. Quick to meet a need. We might see a need. We need to meet that need. We need to be quick to do it. That's what the Bible says. Verse 11 goes on to say, not slothful in business. Okay. One of the commentators basically said, that is not a very good translation by modern terms, that word business. Okay. It doesn't get the idea of cross. It sounds like having something to do with businessmen and has been erroneously used in that reference. The actual Greek term would be best sustained this way, not lazy in zeal. Not lazy in zeal. Has nothing to do with business, the original Greek word, translation of it. The word is spoud, S-P-O-U-D, and it literally means hurry or haste. In general, what the Lord is saying is we have the Lord's business to do. And the Lord's business has to be done while we can do it. Don't be slothful, you know, in doing God's will, in doing what God's called us to do. And Jesus says, while it is day, we have to work, for the night cometh when no man can work. And as I get older, I can see, feel that coming on real quick. So anyway, what has to be done and has to be done now. It's got this, it's saying slothful in business, but they say that's what it means now. We need to be about it now, doing what we need to do now while we can, you know. In regard to spiritual zeal, a fast and total commitment and staying with it. Don't back up. Paul was aggressive. You know, he's a good example. Christ is our prime example. You know, he was zealous about his Father's will, and he did it. It's our examples. The verse goes on to say, fervent in spirit. The word fervent means to boil with heat. To be a boiling point believer, raring to go. And it's about this time the Lord spoke to me about what I just got done talking about. And I'm asking myself, Jim, are you a boiling point Christian? The answer is no, I'm not. You know, but I want to be. But that's what I need to strive to be, is what the Bible's trying to tell us. I need to strive for that. Try to improve. Try to get better. And folks, help. Help is available, and it's just a prayer away. Just a prayer away. God wants to, he wants to reward us. He wants to bless us. He wants us to live by these standards and try to strive to do better. Be a boiling point believer, raring to go. The spirit here, is, now when it says fervent in spirit, the word spirit here is not referring to the Holy Spirit. It's referring to the human spirit down inside of here, okay? Be fervent in here. And your own inner man, not the Holy Spirit. The Christian life ought to be filled with enthusiasm, zeal, excitement, and joy. Jim, do you always display that? No, but I'm supposed to strive to do that, to get better about it, to be excited about being a Christian. But we can become weary and well-doing. Folks, that's reality. We can lose our zeal, our excitement, and our enthusiasm, and that's too bad. But again, help is a prayer away. The Christian life needs to be filled with energy. Not only committed to do the task and not to grow lazy, but to boil in the spirit to get it done, to be excited. Enthusiastic. The Apostle Paul never stopped. He said, I run to win the race. I fight to hit my opponent. I do everything I can to bring my body into subjection. Great examples of the way we should be living, folks. The verse goes on to say, serving the Lord. Have we ever experienced that fervency in terms of serving Jesus Christ? We should be. We ought to be boiling over. Folks, let's get excited about being Christians. And Lord, folks, we've got a bright future. Bright future. And we need to be striving to honor the Lord through that. And again, to move up to maybe being a precious stones Christian, you know, and hopefully to get up to the silver, the gold, you know, be striving to do better. Honor the Lord and have a willingness to serve the Lord and a willingness to get in and dive in and to do what we can do. Because again, we're going to be judged on our dash, that little dash. Serving the Lord is what we're for. Romans 1:8 says, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Can people say that about our church, about us individually? You know, their faith is real. And that's what we need to be striving for. Paul loved Paul loved the thought of serving the Lord. The sense of satisfaction in the service of Christ should outweigh any other satisfaction the world has to offer. We are called to serve the Lord and to serve Him with zeal, with a fervent spirit, enthusiastic, full of joy and excitement. The Christian life should be exciting. A lot of us walk around like we just ate a sour pickle. Shouldn't be that way. Verse 12. It says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. There's just so much meat in these verses, you know. In fact, let me just stop here. I mean, there is so much here. Is there any questions or comments about anything I've said so far? Anybody? Yes. Okay. Not fervent and not slothful in business.
Go back to verse number 8. The same word is used in translated diligence there. Where it says he avoid with diligence.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Did all of you hear him? Am I getting this all? Okay. Okay. He says in verse 8, the word diligence there is the same word that is talking about being fervent in business. Yes, okay. In business. Okay, thank you. That's good. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Well, Paul talked about the struggle. He had a struggle doing these things. In Romans 7:19 or 18, in my flesh dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And I think we all can identify with that.
Yeah.
We know what to do, but we struggle with doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so we need to strive. Our sinful flesh. We're going to have that, folks. We've talked about this in the past. Our spirit has been saved, but our bodies, the sin rests within our bodies. I'm looking forward to getting rid of this old sinful body and getting my new one. I'm looking forward to that. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to go. We should all be ready to go. Good points. Anybody else? Yes. Very good. She says, can you hear her over there? Okay. We need to have a microphone hanging up here somewhere. We can't do it on our own strength, folks. We've got to depend on Him. And in fact, a person, again, brought up the thing about pray without ceasing. And I've been going to a new Bible study. And Pastor.
Well, it ties in with what Beverly is saying. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
And of course, ties in with that. He is the answer.
Yeah. Folks, we've got to depend on Him. If we try to do stuff under our own strength, it's going to fail. And Anybody else? This is good. Anybody else? John, what are you doing over there? Okay.
Well, I think it's even beyond that. I don't think we can do it at all. It's Christ that does it in us. His Spirit does it in us.
Mm-hmm.
And He gives us credit for doing it, but we don't really get it done without Him, and He's the one that does it. In the Old Testament, when Noah was told to bring all the animals in the ark, God told him to do it. But if you read through the whole thing, God does it. And then in the end, He gives Noah credit for it.
Oh, okay.
Look at those verses. It's really interesting. God tells him to do it, and it says God brought him in, and then He gives Noah credit for it.
Interesting. Never heard that before, but that's good. Yes, sir.
If there's anything that I've done, it's through Christ, but I thank Him for allowing me to be a part of His plan. So when we look at it that way, yes, it's all God's doing, but He allows us to be a part of it too. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I'm one of the things I'm thankful for, is that He allows me to be a part of His plan.
Sure. Very good. Anybody else? This is good. Don't quit now. Okay. No, this is good. And good. He's our source, our strength, our power. But we need to be in communion with Him, you know, so our flesh doesn't get in the way and mess it up. So very good. Very good. I don't have a clue where I was. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Chapter 12, verse 12.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. When you serve the Lord with your whole heart, things begin to happen to make you hope for the future. We serve because someday we want to hear, "Well done, now good and faithful servant." And I thought about that a lot, this well done, now good and faithful servant. And, you know, I think we kind of put a blanket thing on that, kind of thinking everybody's going to hear that one, you know. I have a feeling that for God, His standards are high, and I think God's standards is going to be, I don't think everybody's going to hear that, you know. But it'd sure be wonderful to hear it, have God say, "Well done, now good and faithful servant." But again, if you're a straw-level Christian, you're probably not going to hear that. So just a thought that went through my mind. You know, like I've been reading a lot of books, you know, about losing a spouse and stuff like that. And again, and some of it from hospice has been written by Catholics. And anyway, they've got this belief, everybody's going to heaven. You know, God's a God of love. He's not going to, you know, everybody's going to make it. You know, and I just, I don't know why I mentioned that. But, okay, the blanket thing about, a lot of times we think everybody's going to hear that. I have a feeling that, and I have, a lot of times I think, you know, probably the people's going to hear that, "Well done, now good and faithful servant," is probably some little old widow lady that's stuck at home. She can't get out. She wishes with all of her heart she could be in church today, but she can't, because of physical ailments and stuff. And she is just praying fervently for this church and for each one of us individually. And just, I think a lot of, my opinion, I guess that's God's business, but anyway, a lot of times that those people have a lot better chance of getting it than maybe some of us. And anyway, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Page 1228. Okay, who'd read that for us? Delbert? Okay. Okay. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Folks, payday is coming. It may not be here today, but it's coming. And that is a hope that we have that should be driving us to strive to live for the Lord and to move up that ladder, you know, from stubble to wood and wood to precious stones. We serve with a whole heart because we know that there will be an eternal reward, and we long for that. We long for that. No matter how dark the world is, how hard the task, we await the time when the King comes to take his own to himself, and rewards will be given. Folks, I am looking forward to that day. I look at this wicked, wicked world, and I thought, oh my, it can't get any worse. And the next day, it gets worse. Boy, I pray for my kids and my grandkids. If the Lord, you know, if he doesn't come, a lot of times we say if the Lord tarries, and people say, well, it's not tarrying to the Lord. It might be tarrying to us. But anyway, what's the world going to look like that our kids and our grandkids are going to be coming up in if he doesn't come back? And I just say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I wish he'd take us out of here before this Sunday school class is over. I do. And we will enjoy an eternal rest in the presence of Christ. And because of that, we are able to keep on keeping on. Folks, that should be our driving force, our desire to live for him and serve him. Because we love righteousness. Verse 12 goes on to say, patient in our tribulation. But when we run into opposition, when we run into indifference, when we run into apathy, and we see our own weaknesses and our own failures, and sometimes we do it wrong and we have to pick up the pieces, we're going to have some problems, because we're going to run right into an ungodly system, and it's going to be difficult. Folks, I really believe that we need to gird up our loins, because I think the way this thing is running, it looks like things are going to get worse. I'm praying for revival, but anyway, you don't know. I wish it would come. Revival needs to start with me, and then I wish it would spread into our church, and then I wish it would spread throughout all of our churches. And there's so many churches out there teaching so much ungodly stuff. Anyway. But through all of our service, there is always that hope of that day when all our service will be done. When God calls us home. Or when the rapture takes place. The word patient means to stay under, to remain under. Not trying to get out from under it, you know, but to stay, remain under it, and stay diligent under the pressure of tribulation. We can stay under the pressure, stay under the test. We can endure the trouble, the pressure of serving the Lord. We see what's coming in the future because we are standing on the promises of God. Aren't the promises of God wonderful? Wow. And to know that he's unchanging. Wow, what a God we serve. Verse goes on to say, continuing instant in prayer. One of the reasons the Lord keeps the pressure on us is to keep us in communion with him. Folks, we need his help. We've discussed that this morning. We need his help to do anything, to accomplish anything. He energizes us, and we need his power. We need to ask for it. Ask and ye shall receive. And so if we're doing it with all of our heart and with excitement and enthusiasm, we're going to be in the midst of pressure. The old devil is alive and well. And again, as I say that, anything that happens to us has got to go through the fingers of God. I've said many times, the old devil, he's down in the basement. And he's a scooping coal into the furnace of our tribulation. He's scooping coal in there as fast as he can. But God is controlling the thermostat. Okay? God is in control. There's nothing that happens that God does not allow to happen. And it can be bad things. God allows bad things to happen, but he's meaning it for good. And that's a concept that a lot of times we fail to understand. I'm glad he's in control, aren't you? Amen. And in the midst of all the trouble, we can stay under it and rejoice and hope. Folks, we still rejoice and hope. The fire, the furnace may be turned up on us. God may, you know, put on a little heat, allow a little heat, but stay under it and just ask God for strength to carry us through. In the midst of that, we're going to spend time in prayer, bringing those things to the Lord and being sustained by him. He is our sustainer. He's our strength because we know what's coming. We have to stay plugged in prayer. Lord, keep me faithful. Keep me disciplined. Keep me moving under tribulation. Verse 13. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. These are commandments we're supposed to be living by. The word distributing means sharing, communion, partnership, fellowship. That means I'm partners with other saints, and if they have a need, we're partners. This says our resources are for each other, right? We really don't own anything, by the way. Anything that we have, God has given it to us. You know, we only manage them for the Lord as stewards. We're just stewards. It's not ours, it's his. And where there are people with needs, our resources are equally theirs because we share as partners. And it is our Christian duty for us to do that. In Acts 2 and 4, it describes the early church. They were selling the things they had and giving the proceeds to the people who had a need. How do I know who to give it to? Jesus was asked this question, and he asked a question, who is your neighbor? We are to be generous, given to the hospitality. And then Jesus told a story about a guy lying on a road on the way to Jericho. And the point of the story was this: your neighbor is the guy lying in your path, the one with the need. He's saying, hold on to what you have, and when God puts somebody in your path with a need, then meet that need. It's basically the moral of the story. The verse goes on to say, given to hospitality. Literally, this is a very strong statement. It means pursue the love of strangers, not reluctantly. Not saying, oh brother, we've got somebody else coming over. No, pursue it. Do it. Don't do it reluctantly. Pursue hospitality, the love of strangers. And that's a hard one, folks, to love strangers, to meet a need for somebody you don't know. Christ did that. Well, he knew us. Scratch that. Of course, in that day, you don't stay in someone's home. Okay, back in those days, in that day, you didn't stay in someone else's home. You had to stay in one of those crummy inns. And I guess the inns back then were crummy. And I guess they were dangerous, okay? In those days, you were taking your life in your hands. There was a great need for that as Christians moved around. They opened their home to traveling preachers, okay? For those traveling Christians, traveling preachers, because that was the best place for them to stay. People opened their homes to them. Now, I know we live in a different society now, and we got to be careful, but anyway, that's part of Christian duty. It is very practical. And our time is up. We got 2 minutes. So, before we go on to verse 14, any more questions or comments? Going, gone. Okay, let's close in prayer. Father, a lot of these commands you've given us, directions you've given us here in your word, Lord, are hard for us to live by. And Lord, our flesh rebels against that. And Lord, yet we are to be a hospitable people, Lord, to those around us, to the unsaved. And Lord, help us to be gracious in our living. Lord, help us to obey your word. And Lord, just to know when things are safe and when things are not and when to proceed. Lord, give us wisdom. And Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word and Lord, these instructions you're giving us. And Lord, your standards are high. But Lord, help us to strive to do better. Lord, to move it up a notch, to move up that ladder, Lord, and just help us, Lord, to be obedient. I pray, Father, that you'll be with Pastor Joe as he brings us the morning message. Lord, open our hearts for the message that you have for us today. Help us, Lord, to be obedient. Help us to be doers. And Lord, we're just thankful that the Lord, the privilege we have to come and study your word and to be able to open it. And we pray for those, Lord, that are struggling, that don't have your word, and let the other Christians, they just love to have just a page out of the Bible. I pray for those people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.